Good to see our visitors here and hope you enjoy the services with us this evening. Come on. Tell you, I like singing. I enjoy it. You know what I like even more than singing? I like hearing other people sing. I enjoy that. I do. The Bible tells us that we need to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? So as we're singing, I had somebody tell me when I was 17 years old, at church where we were at, there in Forestell, we lost our song leader. They moved away, so we had no song leader. So my dad said, you just volunteered. So, and I didn't like being up in front of people. So he had me start leading singing. So I had a lady tell me, said, you know what, if you would just open your mouth, you would sing louder. So I tried it. It didn't work. Because what I didn't realize you had to do was to suck more air in. So as you're singing, suck more air in and sing louder. Because what does the Bible say? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. If you say you can't sing, don't worry about it. Nobody here is judging you. We're singing to the Lord. You're not singing to the person in front of you. You're not singing to the person behind you. You're singing in honor of God. That's what we're to be doing. And I enjoy hearing all of you sing. I enjoy it. I do. Because it's congregational hymn. We're singing in honor of honor to the Lord and what he's done for us. And while we're singing, let's think about the words that we're singing, the songs, and what they mean, and it's just, I enjoy it. I like it. So, and I like hearing y'all sing. I've been to churches before that they call out the number and you go to sing and you're the only one. You don't hear nobody. And you look around and they're like, you've been to churches like that where that they don't seem very happy, do they? You know, they're not honoring to God. The Lord says make a joyful noise. Make a noise unto the Lord. Joyful noise. Don't scream. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying sing out is what I'm saying. We need to. That's what I believe. I believe we need to sing out to the Lord. Not that y'all don't, but we could always do better, couldn't we? Couldn't we? We always could. If you will, tonight, take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm going to make noise. I'm using this lapel mic so I don't cough into it, which I'm working on getting rid of the cough. Pray for me that it'll go away. But Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we made it down to verse 8. And here in verse 8, he says again, as he said everywhere through Ecclesiastes, he says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. You know, Solomon looked at the ways of this world, and he's went through, and you can go back and look at all the scriptures and see that Solomon went to the world, and he looked at everything in this world. What did he find? When he found everything in this world, he looked at all the wisdom. He found all these things, looked at all these things. It doesn't matter. He found it. It doesn't matter if you're rich, if you're poor. It doesn't matter if you're smart or if you're dumb. It doesn't matter if you're good looking or ugly. None of this matters. It doesn't matter if you're healthy or you're sick. What's going to happen? You're going to die. And Solomon looks at all these things and nothing changes the end result of it. You know, there's times in our lives, in mine, when I have a bad habit. I don't know if it's a bad habit or not, but I compare things a lot in my life. You know, I get up at a certain time, okay, I'm weird, I'm strange, I'm funny. But when I had to start getting up early in the morning, and so I would go to the bathroom, and one day I would brush my teeth first, and then I would do other things. And then the next day I would do something else first and see which way's faster. I would compare. That's me. That's what I do. I don't know why. I've always been that way. And so there's sometimes things that I could do that would make a different outcome. right? A different way to do it was faster, was better, was easier. It flowed better. But you know, in life, you're going to die. And that's what Solomon's looking at all the way through this book, that there's nothing changes. It doesn't matter your station in life. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. None of that changes the end result. The end result of this life is death. That's it. And so we looked at this, and he says again, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Why? It's empty. There's nothing in this world that's going to change anything of you. Nothing. You're not taking it with you. Nothing. So, what is the whole point? What is the whole point? Well, he covers this in here. The next verse, he says, and moreover, and besides all of this, he says, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. So he still taught the people. Even though Solomon, he was the wisest man that ever lived, right? He was. Just because he was wise doesn't mean he was smart, right? He followed his wives. He followed them, and he went away from the Lord. He sought the things of this world, and he sought knowledge and wisdom in those things and found out many things of this world. But what he found is none of it matters. None of it doesn't add up to anything. He still, you could have all the things of this world and die and go to hell. He still taught the people. Even though he followed his wives, he still taught the people knowledge, and he sought out. It says here that, verse 9, yea, he gave good heed. He looked at things. He sought out, and he set in order many proverbs. How many proverbs did Solomon write? Do you know? In 1 Kings chapter 4, I'm not going to turn there, but 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, says that he spake 3,000 proverbs. And his songs were 1,005. He wrote all of these things. He gave wisdom. He gave knowledge to people. He was the wisest man that ever lived, and he had good advice, good things to give, good proverbs. Yet none of that changed. He still died, didn't he? He still did. Verse 10 says, the preacher, and, you know, just this word preacher, it's mentioned, I think it's 11 or 12 times in the Bible. Do you know where they're at every time? The book of Ecclesiastes. It's the only place this word is used. It's the only place. The Greek word or the Hebrew word. It's the only place this is used is here in Ecclesiastes. It means like a public speaker is what it means. He would stand up and he would speak to people. They would come and listen to him, give his proverbs. But it says the preacher sought out to find acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. He sought out to find acceptable words. He looked at these things. He tried to find the acceptable here. I wrote down here. Means that which one takes delight in. He wanted words that were appealing to people, words that were easy to understand. When I'm studying for a message, and all of you, if you've taught a class, if you've preached a message, if you've done any of that, spoke before in front of people, it's very difficult, right, to take a thought and put it into words and get it out there where people can understand. It's hard, especially when, have you ever tried to explain a feeling? You ever tried to put a feeling into words? Sometimes I don't know how to do it. I don't know how. You know, and I pray about these things and how to say these. I look for the words. I set my office back there, and sometimes I walk around here and think about it because I get tired of sitting in there staring at the screen, staring at the Bible. So I get tired of that. I need something different. So I come out here and I walk around. I walk back in the fellowship hall and around here and just walk around thinking about how do you say it? You understand what I'm saying. You know, I seek out those things, acceptable words. I seek out words that are understandable. And that's what Solomon says he did when he looked at these Proverbs and he wrote these things and he sought out this wisdom and knowledge and put it into words that could be understood. It's very scary when you stand up here. I believe this is why the Lord told Jeremiah, don't look at their faces. Told him, said, don't look at their faces, they'll confuse you. Because I've been preaching before and looked at people's faces and they have a confused look on their face. Sometimes that's good, but sometimes it scares the living daylights out of me because now I think they don't know what I'm talking about. Now do I even know what I'm talking about? You know, and so it's not good to look at people's faces. So what I try and do is I try and look just over people's heads. So I'm not seeing your face. I still see you. I still see the nods, but I don't focus on the face because my dad told me that he was doing that and look back at somebody and they was making faces at him. He about started laughing. Don't make faces at me. Now, I never did that because my dad would say, Paul, he would call me out on it. But Solomon sought out acceptable words to use. And I understand that the Lord led him in these because it's in the Word of God and it's inspired. And the Lord led him in these things, in these words. And he says here in verse 10, he says, he sought out to find out acceptable words. That which was written was upright, even words of truth. What he wrote about this world is true. This world, there's nothing in this world that's going to help you. Is there? There's nothing. There's nothing here. Nothing here is going to make you. You can seek all these things out of this world, and what are you going to have? What does the Bible say? What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world? And what? Lose his own soul. What has he gained? He's gained nothing. But what has a man profited if he loses his life and gain his soul? What is it that he's profited? If you're here today and you're saved, things of this world don't matter. It doesn't matter what you have because we're not looking at the things of this world, right? Right? We're not, right? We're looking at what the Lord wants us to have, what the Lord wants us to do, where he wants us to be. That's what needs to be our focus, is what does he want? His leadership. It was talked quite a bit today in Sunday school, in devotion, in Sunday school, in the message this morning about our plans. We all have plans. I have plans for tomorrow. I have plans for later tonight. I have plans. Are they okay if they get changed? Are your plans okay? Is it okay if your plans, if the Lord changes your plans? Or are you going to fight to keep your plans the way they are because you think your plans are better? Y'all just looking at me because we all think the same thing, right? Our plans are good, right? But the Lord changes our plans. We need to be surrendering to him. His words are truth, and what he has for us is truth. Verse 11. Verse 11 says, the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. The words of the wise are as goads. This word, this goads here is a stick that's sharp on one end. It's a long stick that's sharp on one end. You know what it's used for? It's used to when they're training oxen or training animals to pull, to train the turn a certain way, they pull, and they give a command, and if the oxen or the animal doesn't turn, they poke it, make it turn. That's a goad. That's what it's for. Does the Lord ever poke you? You can say, yeah, he does, right? He pokes us. Well, how does he do that? With his word. The words of the wise are goads. They poke us. Believe it or not, I have actually used a horse to plow a field. I have. I did it for about 15 minutes. Until the horse decided he was done. Everything was fine. The guy that taught me how to, was showing me how to do it, was doing it. And then he let me go and bent down to tie his shoe. Well, I kept going. I turned around. And then the horse noticed that Tom was not behind me no more. It was me. So he decided he was heading for the field, and he took off through the field, heading to the barn. But Tom had one of these sticks. It didn't work for a little bit, but he got the horse's attention real quick, and the horse turned around. But that's the way, you know, I look at that and I think about that, that the Lord uses his word to show us where we need to change. Have you ever prayed and asked the Lord to mold and make you like he wanted to do Israel, that the Lord mold and make you what he wants you to be? Have you ever asked the Lord to do that? We ought to, but be careful. Sometimes being molded is not easy. It's difficult. It hurts. It's painful. Because when we pray and ask the Lord to do that, sometimes we pray and ask the Lord for things that we don't understand what we're asking. Then we get upset when things start going wrong in our eyes. We pray a lot of times to, before we eat, have you ever prayed and asked the Lord, use this food to the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies as you see fit? You ever prayed that? Do you mean that? You mean it when you pray that. Lord, use me as you see fit. We need to be willing to be used of the Lord, to be changed, to be molded into what he wants us to be. His word, as Brother Bowen talked about this morning in Sunday school, sometimes the messages that we have to preach beat us up one side and down the other, don't they? But you think about this. I stand up here and I preach a message that you don't like. 30, 45 minutes, an hour. You've got it once. How many times do you think I got it? How many? A lot of these messages I've studied for over a week. Read it over and over again, went over it, changed it, added to it, took away from it, put more into it. All of this. By the time I stand up here and preach a message like that to you, I am totally unworthy to be here. I feel that way. You know, I've been told sometimes, preach a message, and it's really awesome when somebody comes up and they say, you know, I've been struggling with that. And the Lord just, he opened it up to me as you were preaching. I've had that before, and that's just, it's very humbling. It's very humbling. It's awesome to know that the Lord used. It's not my words, but the Lord takes the words from me and puts them in your ears the way he wants you to have them. He does that. I've also had somebody get mad at me. And very mad because they claimed that I was preaching just to them. I had no idea. I didn't know. You know, his words, they prick us. They poke us. Don't ever pray for that to stop. We ought to be praying it does it more. But we ought to be. Do you want to be what the Lord wants you to be? Do you? Shake your head yes. Do you mean that? Are you going to allow the Lord to work in your life? Am I going to allow the Lord to work in my life? To change me to what he wants me to be? We need to be willing. We need to be that way. And then he says here, he says, the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. I read this about nails. I think a very strange thing when I read this about nails, because we need his word fastened into our heart. We need his word put into our heart and our minds to where that it stays there, right? We need that. And I think a multi-story building built out of wood that's going up. And they have in these certain places in here, in this building, they'll have what they call shear walls. And they run along with the joists. Most walls will go up and stop the joists, right? They'll stop the floor joists. And then it's the floor joists up above there. But the shear walls will go from the bottom floor all the way up to the subfloor. They'll have a double top plate on it. And then the floor above that will set down, and it'll have extra. Most bottom walls have two studs. This will have three on it, three bottom plates on it, sitting on top. And they go all the way up to the roof, all the way. They nail them down just like normal, but then they come back every 18 inches and put, it's either a 9 or a 10-inch nail. Huge. It's about as big as my pinky, that nail is, that big around. It's either 9 or 10 inches. It'll stick through the bottom plate, the top plate of the wall and underneath. Every 18 inches apart, they drive those nails down in that wall. What is that for? It's a shear wall that keeps that building from moving sideways, right? Keeps it from doing this, keeps it from twisting. In heavy winds, earthquakes, those nails really hook that together. And then at all the corners on these shear walls and right in the middle, they run a rod that goes all the way up to the roof, all the way down, hooks into the concrete, and it's got bolts on there, and they tighten those bolts up and tighten that wall together. I think about that when I read this, by the nails. Why? We need God's word fastened and locked into our lives. We need it. We have to have. Why? Why does it need to be there? Because the Bible tells us we're going to go through storms. We're going to go through earthquakes in our lives. It's going to shake us to the foundation, to the core. It's going to shake us sometimes. We can't fall apart. We need to be founded on God's word. We need that to be steady on that, to be fastened down to that. Those shear walls set on, I was trying to think of the name of the footing that it is, and I cannot think of the name of the footing that it's called. Most footings run along the outside of the building, right? But these are, when they dig the ground out inside, and when they pour the concrete inside, this concrete comes over, and it's about that thick. Then it gets really thick, and then it goes back up. That shear wall sets right on top of that where that got really thick at. All that concrete is tied together, and it's twice as thick right there. And there's extra rebar in there, and then those bolts come up through that. And they all those walls tie down and screw down with those bolts that are anchored in that concrete that are tied to that floor. That's what I think about with the Word of God in our hearts and our minds. We need that to be anchored. If we don't have the Word of God anchored, what is going to happen when a storm comes and the winds beat upon us? What's going to happen? We're going to shake and we're going to tremble. We're going to fall over if we're not anchored in God's word. We need to be anchored in his word. We need to be tied down. How do we get anchored in his word? By being in his word. By studying, by reading. By allowing him. Look, it's not going to do you any good. It'll do you some good. Okay? If you read and you study, but you're not willing for God to change you, what are you doing? I tell you to read and study. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it because I truly believe this. It does not scare me at all if everybody here gets their Bibles out and studies. Doesn't scare me at all. Why not? I plan on preaching what's in the Bible. So if you're studying what's in the Bible, you're going to be right along with me. That's what I'm studying. Why would it scare me for you to study? Wouldn't scare me at all. We need that. We need to. But if you're not going to be willing to allow the Lord to mold and make you, you're going to be fighting him all the way through. Why? Why fight him? Submit to him. Give up every part of your life to him. And look at this, where these come from. Where the words of the wise are goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. Look at this, which are given from one shepherd. Who's the shepherd it's given from? Who's the shepherd? It's Christ. It's given by him. You know, I stand up here and I preach, and Brother Bowen preaches, Brother Kevin, Brother James is going to preach Wednesday night. Where are we getting the messages from? I'll make a confession to you. I've preached a message before. You may think that sounds weird, but did you hear what I said? I have preached a message before. Me. It flopped. Because it wasn't from the Lord. It was my agenda. It was my plan. It was my idea. It was my focus. It was all me. Every bit of it was me. I preached it. It might have got to the end of the pulpit before it fell over. No good. No good whatsoever. Why? These messages can't come from me. You teach a Sunday school class, that lesson doesn't need to come from you. It needs to come from the Lord. Teaching a Sunday school lesson, teaching devotion, preaching is not something you need to take lightly. You're giving out the Word of God. It's serious. It needs to be taken serious. It needs to be done with much prayer. Why? Because it needs to come from the Lord. If we just, there's messages that I've told you, I don't really want to preach this. But I can't get away from it. So I'm going to. Some of those are hard. But when the Lord won't leave me alone about it, what choice do I have? What choice? I had no choice. But you know, after, a lot of times after those messages, I feel so much lighter. I feel so much better. Because now I've done what God wanted me to do. I have peace about it. And that's what we need to do, is just follow the Lord, give the word that he gives to us. I don't need to worry. I don't worry about, I can't say that. Sometimes I am concerned about preaching messages, but what I need to do is let the Lord take it from my mouth to your ears, right? That's what we need to do. Let the Lord do it, not me. In verse 12, it says, "And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is the weariness of the flesh. Further, by these, be admonished." That word admonished there is a warning. Be warned. What does he mean here? "And further, by these, my son, be admonished." Then he says, "Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is the weariness of the flesh." I have commentaries in the office, quite a few commentaries. I have more online than I have than what I have in the office. You name a subject, you can find more than one book on it, right? You can find many people that's wrote books on it, that's wrote what they think on it, that's done all these things, and you can read all these books. You can take a verse in the Bible, and you can put that verse, you can Google a verse in the Bible. You can Google that, and guess what's going to happen? You can find thousands of pages about that verse. Thousands of different views and ideas on what people think it means, all kinds of stuff on it. There's no end to these books. But he says, be warned. Why? He says that here he ends that verse with, "And much study is the weariness of the flesh." When you begin to study the Bible, don't think that it's going to be easy. It's not. It's not easy. Do you think it's easy to sit at a desk and read the Bible for 8 hours a day? You think it's easy? It's tough. It's hard. It's tiring. That's why sometimes I get up and walk around. I got to move. My mind gets full. I don't know if y'all ever had that. Your mind gets full and you get weary, you get tired, your back hurts, your legs hurt, you're stand there and my shoulders begin to hurt, my neck hurts, like I start getting a headache, I get up and I walk around and I get to where I can't think. But one of the things I found that hurts more than anything is seeing what other men say about it. Sometimes that leads me to confusion, what they say. Sometimes it's just better to get up and walk around and pray. Forget what other men say. Forget what commentaries say about it. Get up and walk around and pray and seek the Lord. And a lot of times I'll come out here, I'll walk around, and you know, when it was warm, I'd walk around outside, but I don't walk around outside right now because it's kind of cold and I got a cough. So I walk around inside, and a lot of times I'll be walking around praying, and a verse will pop in my head. Oh, that verse goes along with it. So then I'll go and I'll look at that, and studying is difficult. Serving the Lord is hard. It takes work. It takes dedication. It's not a fly-by-night thing. It's not. It's rough. But it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done. I love it. I love studying the Bible. I love reading. I love reading the Bible. I don't like reading. I don't. There's been like two or three books in my entire life that I've read twice. That's it. My little sister and my dad and my mom, they love reading. They read and they read and they read. I'll wait for the movie. That's me. I'd as soon watch the movie. But the Bible's different. I enjoy reading it. I enjoy it. I read those stories, you know, and I know how it ends, but it's just neat, right? It's just neat to read it again and see what the Lord did. And it's rewarding, is what I'm saying. It's hard. It's tough. But you won't find anything better to do. You won't. So that it is weariness of the flesh. The Lord says the flesh is weak, but I'm willing. Verse 13. Tells us here in verse 13, he says, let us hear. I like that. I like the way he says that. I didn't realize that until this afternoon, the word us. You know, Solomon's talking to himself there. Let us hear. Do you know, when the one up here is preaching, Sunday school teacher teaching, the one doing devotions, you know they need to listen to what they're teaching too? If I told you that, well, whatever I said, I can't think of nothing right now, but if I went against what I was preaching, what would you think about that? I think I was a hypocrite, right? I would be a hypocrite. If I went against what I was preaching. What we preach, we need to listen to. We need to do what we're preaching, what we're teaching. We need to do that. We need to be the example. That's why I have to be very particular who teaches Sunday school classes, who does devotion, who stands in this pulpit. Why? Because they're the example. You understand? They're the example. That I know Christ is the example, but they're the ones that are standing before the kids. They're the ones that are standing behind this pulpit preaching to us. Not just anybody can do that. Not just anybody's qualified to do that. We can't let down in that area. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon's looked at all these things. He looked at all the things in the world. He's sought out all different things. He's looked to see what man can do, how man can better himself, the end result of all these things, and what he's found in this world is nothing. There's nothing in this world. There's nothing that betters you, that really betters you. There's nothing. Because in the end of it all, what happens? You die. And you go to your long home. He looks at these things and he says, let us see the conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion to the whole matter. He sums up this whole thing with two words. Two words. You know what those two words are? Fear God. Conclusion to the whole matter. Fear God. Why? He's all that matters. He's it. All the things in this world are not going to make you better. They're not going to change you. They're not going to profit you, really profit you. I mean, you can have money in the bank and still be broke. And still have not be poor. You can be the richest person in the world and still be poor. You understand that? It doesn't matter what you have in the bank. You have the Lord in your heart. Are you saved? Where are you going when you die? The conclusion to the whole matter, fear God, doesn't keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is what we're here to do, is to follow what the Lord wants. Keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. He looked at everything. And you can read back through the book and see that he looked everywhere. And he come to the conclusion, the only thing that matters, fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. There's nothing better we can do but to serve the Lord. There's nothing more rewarding. When I was plumbing, it was rewarding to show up on a job when there's no building, no nothing. I loved it. I enjoyed it immensely. Plumb. And then when I left, a year and a half, 2 years later, there's a whole building there and people's moving in. That was rewarding. That was cool, you know, to see that and to be able to do that. And it was fun. I enjoyed it. You know, there's that reward goes away. It stops. It doesn't last. It's gone. Do you know the reward? The serving the Lord doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. It continues. I hope that makes sense to you, that when we serve the Lord and we follow him, there's a, I can't think of the word, but it's benefit. It's a beneficial thing to us that won't ever go away. He says there in verse 14, for or because, why should we fear God and keep his commandments? Why? Why is it he says this here and other places in the book? He said that, eat, drink, and be merry. Why is he now saying this? Because he's looked at all these things, worldly speaking. You might as well just eat, drink, and be merry, because you're going to die. Might as well enjoy what you have, because you're not taking it with you. But he looks at all that, even that doesn't better him. But he looks here and he says you ought to fear God and keep his commandments. Why? Because God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You let that verse sink in just a little bit. We ought to fear God. Brother Bowen talked about that this morning. That word fear means reverence, respect, and fear because of what his authority is, what he can do, his responsibility to us. He's promised he would take care of us. My mom and dad promised me they would take care of me. Sometimes I was glad they promised that. Sometimes I was not glad they promised that, because they did take care of me those times, right? It's the same with the Lord. The Lord promised he'll take care of us. That word taking care of us, sometimes means providing for us, sometimes that means taking us to the woodshed, right? The Lord does that. He'll bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. There are things that my mom and dad have found out I done after I got married. I'm not dumb. I'm not telling them before I got married. It didn't come up. It came up after we got married. Oh, yeah, I did do that. You know, I tried smoking. I tried it. Thought it was disgusting. Didn't like it. But I tried. I went home. My mom never said a word. She had to smell it on me. Had to have. But you know what she done? She put her arm around me and she said, I just want to tell you, I'm so proud of you. Just beat me. Just beat me now. Because I know what I had just done. I know what I had just tried. They told me, don't do that. It's not good for you. It's bad for you. Plus, the Lord says don't do it, so you shouldn't do it. Our bodies are the temple of the Lord. Or take care of the temple. Our Holy Spirit lives within us. And when we smoke or we do drugs and we drink alcohol, what are we doing to the temple that the Lord lives in? The Holy Spirit lives in. What are we doing? I never tried again. Ever. I was going to. Be honest with you, I was going to. But I couldn't light it. And my mom was proud of me. Couldn't. There's things that we've done in secret that our parents don't know about. Maybe your spouse doesn't know about them. But God does. God knows. And those will be brought out. Nothing's hid from the Lord. There's things, we think about secret things. There's things that we've done in secret that's also good. There's things we've done in secret that's good. We've had people pay for our meals before in restaurants that don't know who it was. It was paid. I've paid for people's bill in restaurants. Didn't tell them that was me, just paid the bill. Those things will be brought out too. We don't think about those very much. We always think about the bad things because we don't want those things brought out, right? We don't want them. Solomon ends the book. All the way through the book, he looks at the things of this world and looks at it and tries to find benefits in the things of this world, and he finds none. It comes down to the whole conclusion and everything at the end of it. Fear God and keep his commandments because we're going to be judged one of these days. That's what he finds is the benefit to everything to look at. The end result, we're going to stand before the Lord. You will stand before the Lord and you will stand before the Lord on your own. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready to meet the Lord? When are we going to meet the Lord? Do you know? I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to meet the Lord. But one of these days, guaranteed, we're going to. Just as the Bible says, the death is coming to every one of us. Are you prepared to die? Are you ready to meet the Lord? We all plan. Here in just a little bit, we're going to sing a song, and we're going to dismiss, and we're going to go home, right? I might guarantee you everybody here has a plan for when they get home, don't you? Everybody here does. But will you make it home? Will you make it? And say, well, I just got to walk right over there. That don't mean I'm going to make it home. It doesn't mean it at all. Our plans will change. We don't know when we're going to go to meet the Lord. But I guarantee you one of these days we're going to stand before him. Are you ready to meet him tonight? If you're here today and you're saved, I don't want you to think that just because you're saved, you're ready. You need to be serving him and following him. You need to be living for him. You need to be doing what God wants you to do. It is so easy to say we're ready when we have that thing hidden. It's so easy. Get rid of that. Put those things out of our minds. Put those things out of our life. Submit to the Lord. Not in just one thing. Not in everything but one. We just submit to him in every bit of our life. If you truly want to be ready to meet him, let the Lord be first in your life. Here today and you're lost, you're not ready to meet him. You're not ready to meet the Lord. We pray for you. You need to, I know you've heard it many times. I don't know how else to say it. But the way Christ said it, repent and believe on Jesus Christ. That's what you need is Jesus Christ. Believe on him. And he'll save you. We pray for you. We do. And I know anybody here would talk to you. If you don't want to talk to me, but you want to talk to somebody, you don't have to talk to me. Talk to your parents. Talk to anybody here. Any member of this church will talk to you. Guaranteed. So I appreciate your attention. Let's stand and we'll have a song of invitation.